Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors, that'll tip off just after 9 o'clock. And to talk more about that, we're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline and welcome in Jared Greenberg, host on NBA TV and Sirius XM NBA Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at Jared S. Greenberg. Jared, thanks so much for joining us today. How's everything going for you?
I don't know what else could be better.
And I appreciate that. Jared, this is my problem. When you have me on for 10 before tip, it's usually about 90 seconds or so. So I figure based on the length of this interview, I'm going to owe you like 10 spots now, aren't I?
I know, exactly. But you got to get even.
I know. So I'm already running at a deficit. Okay. I know as much as you're a pro's pro and you take an even-handed approach to everything and you synthesize everything when you're sitting back and watching. Is even someone like you that is so close to the players and so close to the business, when you see what LeBron James accomplished last night, with who LeBron James accomplished it with, what's your professional takeaway?
I think it's just, you know, another incredible thing that we'll talk about for years to come with LeBron. I do think, without knocking what he did last night and what he's done this series or this postseason run and certainly this season, I don't think it's his greatest achievement. I think we're a prisoner of the moment a little bit. You know, I think ultimately things are always about a championship, right?
Right.
So I think, you know, for me, there will be nothing, or it will be at least very difficult, unless he does it again this year, to top doing what he did with who he did it with, how he did it, when he did it back in 2016.
Right.
You know, to me that, you know, against that team, which won 73 games, falling down 3-1, and then winning a game 7 as the road team, A, you're never supposed to win, B, to do it on that court in that building, which nobody had won, to me was so much more impressive. So again, listen, I don't mean to diminish last night. I'm not trying to sway the conversation, but I just think that, you know, because he's accomplished so many great things, we kind of always want to, you know, go to either end of the spectrum of what's the best or what's the worst. And I think this is just another one of the incredible things that LeBron has accomplished, which has put him in the conversation for the greatest of all time.
Jared, I know, obviously, especially more in your radio shows, but the talking point beyond the finals for the next 2 weeks, really 4 weeks or so before free agency, is going to be what's next for LeBron. I know we're not supposed to jump ahead, but I know in this business, everyone wants to jump ahead. Do you think a championship or non-championship will sway LeBron? And as much as he says he hasn't thought about what he's going to do, he's so analytical, I think he always thinks about what he's going to do. How do you think these next 2-4 weeks play out based on if he wins, if he doesn't win, and how much LeBron-a-mania about where he's going? Is this going to be like 2010? Is this going to be like 2014?
Well, I think it's really interesting that a couple of times now he's come, you know, he's been on the brink of being eliminated before the finals. And I think that would have made it much more like 2010, because all of the extra time he would have had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now, even if he could, there's still only a couple of weeks before July 1st, because you think of, you know, game 4 is 2 weeks from yesterday, right? So even if he gets swept, you know, he's only going to have a couple of weeks to kind of figure this out. I don't think he's made up his mind, and I don't think a championship or lack thereof makes that much of a difference. I think for LeBron and Ira, I mean, you saw this up close and personal for several years. I truly think that winning and being in a situation where he feels like the organization is doing what's best for him to win a championship, and notice how I said that, for him to win a championship, right? Like, I think that is most important moving forward. So he may win this year, but if he doesn't deem that Cleveland could do it moving forward because of how the organizational structure is and his lack of relationship still with ownership,
right.
I think that would force him to leave. But if he feels that he could put the pieces around him in Cleveland, I don't think he necessarily needs to win a championship or he certainly could lose, and I think he could still find that there. I just think it's always about moving forward and always it's about him winning a next championship.
Jared Greenberg, host on NBA TV, Sirius XM NBA Radio, joining us here on Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Jared, so much being made about LeBron's accomplishments, and rightfully so. On the other side of things, the Celtics lose, and they have, I think, exceeded expectations in terms of being ahead of schedule, especially with their injuries. With that in mind, how bright is the future for that team in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I think it's extremely bright, and I think, you know, even if they were healthy this year, I kind of gave them a pass this year because, listen, they were better, I felt, I think everybody would agree, than last year on paper. Mm-hmm. But, again, they still have to figure themselves out, and so much of the NBA is knowing who you are and going through the moment. And losing, to a certain extent, is a huge, huge benefit. I mean, you guys felt that in Miami back in 2011. You know, not to say that if you didn't win, you wouldn't have won more, but
right.
But that fire, that fuel that you that the Heat used after losing to Dallas, I think really helped them moving forward. And you know, I think they're going to have to figure out how to use all these pieces. But next year is when the clock truly starts for them, because when they got Kyrie, you know, again, it was a year to kind of figure out how to use him, how to implement him. You didn't think Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum would be this good this quickly. But now next year is, at the end of next season, when you have to pay Kyrie, is when you've got to start to think about paying some of your other young players that you have. And you start to wonder, okay, we've been together now a couple of years. How do we feel like this thing is moving forward? And it's just so strange. I mean, you look at this Boston team. 2017, they go to the Eastern Conference Finals with Isaiah Thomas, and granted, before he gets hurt. Mm-hmm. And then look at that starting five compared to the starting five that they rolled out there last night. And then look at the starting five that they're going to roll out opening night, assuming no injuries, for next year. And it's so drastically different, yet all three are expected to go at the very minimum to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I would say next year, you know, again, balance of power, depending on where LeBron goes and depending if Danny Ainge does anything and has any other tricks up his sleeve. But Boston's going to be expected to go, if not win, an NBA championship next year. So I would say their clock truly, truly does begin next season.
Jared, when you look at the other game seven tonight, Houston, assuming that Chris Paul doesn't play, if he does, he's severely limited. I never say a team doesn't have a chance. And certainly what James Harden has shown us this season, at least regular season, most of the playoffs, and what they've been able to do in their building, as someone who's sitting back and you weigh all the factors and you're putting him in there, does Houston have a chance tonight?
You know, I felt like they shouldn't have had a chance the other night.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like even games with Chris Paul in this series, that just knowing this Warrior team, they typically go and bury that team. This Warrior squad has just been so weird. Ultimately, if they win tonight and they get to the NBA Finals, this is where we expected them to be, and this is the finals matchup we expected for the last mm-hmm. 8 months. But just the path we took to get here just seems so weird. Like that first quarter the other night, just it doesn't make sense for the Warriors. How you would let, you know, a team come into your building without arguably the guy who's been their best and most important player in Chris Paul and get out to the start where you need to go do what you did over the final three quarters just to win. I still love the makeup of this roster. I still think that ultimately when they flip the switch, it's hard to say that there's a team since the Jordan 90, the 90s Jordan-led Bulls that have been more dominant or have been expected to do more and constantly do it. But still, it's just weird that they've had moments throughout this year where they've allowed themselves to just get complacent and be satisfied and say, you know what, ultimately when our backs are up against it, we'll be fine. And then the other night, they kind of, you know, played with fire a little bit.
If there is one path to the Cavaliers for the championship, to me, it's this. However it happens tonight, whether it's Eric Gordon hitting shots like crazy, whether it's the unknown shooter coming off the bench for Houston, maybe Ryan Anderson emerges or something. But let's just say arguably they find a way and Houston gets through tonight against the Warriors. Like you said, the unimaginable happens one more time for Golden State. Could this open the door for LeBron after everything they've been through this season in Cleveland? If you're going to have a hobbled or maybe no Chris Paul in the finals, how would you assess, and I know it's a reach here, Jared, but if the Cavaliers were to play the Rockets, would you give them just a puncher's chance or would you give them more than a puncher's chance?
I would like to think that the Rockets are just a better basketball team no matter mm-hmm. what. But again, you know, so I would say this. I've been stunned this series that the Rockets have fared as well as they have with James Harden playing the way he has played. Now, granted, he played better the other night,
mm-hmm.
but I felt like the only way we would get a Game 7 or, you know, the Rockets beating the Warriors is if Chris Paul and James Harden both play at an MVP level through four victories, right? And James Harden will not, if they win tonight, certainly will not have had four victories where he's played at that level. He's had other guys step up, and I just didn't think that was possible. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, that they needed that. So with that said, if they can do that, I would say, yeah, I would like LeBron against the team that doesn't have James Harden playing at that level. You know, I would take my chances. You know, I'll take a step back. I know this wasn't your question, though, but I think this is interesting going back to LeBron's days in Miami. I think the one thing we've always kind of craved and we've missed out on is, you know, we wanted LeBron versus Kobe in the finals, right?
Yes.
Like, we desperately wanted that. And that's one thing that, you know, if LeBron could have beaten Kobe in the finals, that is like a clear-cut argument that the LeBron supporters who feel like he's better than Michael, they could have used, because Michael never beat anybody that good in their prime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just never got that type of showing. You know, I guess, you know, 1 year Michael Barkley, but I just don't know that Barkley was at that level. And Karl Malone, I don't know. I don't know that he was
and
at
Magic
that level.
Magic was older. That was an older Lakers team also, right?
Right. So now the fact that we're getting the potential of LeBron and Durant for two straight years, I don't know that we're appreciating it in the moment as we probably should, because I think LeBron ultimately needs the Warriors. And I felt this for the last couple of years. LeBron needs the Warriors, because if that legacy argument is as important as it appears it is, then he can always use that, because Michael was not only the best player, but he was always in the best team. LeBron's been the best player, and there have been plenty of times when he has not been on the best team.
Right.
And the fact that he has at least one time gone to beat them, and under the circumstances in which he did it, I think is incredible. If he does it twice, you know, Michael never did anything close to that.
Right.
Jared Greenberg, host on NBA TV and SiriusXM NBA Radio, joining us here on Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Jared, I want to get back to something that you referenced before. I mean, this Warriors team, by far the most talented team in the league, but they have not looked consistently great or even good at certain parts of this series. How much of that do you think has to do with what the Rockets are doing versus the Warriors just not playing up to their capabilities?
I think it has a lot to do with it. You know, I think that they're not used to, you know, being punched in the mouth the way guys like P.J. Tucker and Clint Capella have at times. You know, Trevor Ariza certainly. You know, I think that has something to do with it, but I think it has more to do with the fact that this team has all season long said, well, we have tomorrow, and tomorrow is another day to decide to flip the switch. And I think that mentality, on top of the fact that they've had more injuries this year than they've ever had to deal with. Now, granted, a lot of the time missed has been due to the extra, you know, precaution that they've used. You know, Steph Curry, if he would have missed five games, they'd have him miss seven games, you know, just to make sure he's 100% healthy, or 10% healthy, rather than just coming back when he normally would. But I think a lot of it is just their own internal, we are still kind of struggling to get back to where we were a year ago.
Jared, to sort of sum this whole thing up, and you know this will be the argument now for the next 2 weeks, and obviously people who do radio and do, you know, talk show and TV love this kind of thing. Is the Michael LeBron thing getting old for you, or do you find it fascinating enough? In other words, we all do this on radio. We have talking points that simply are out there in the ether and you can't avoid them.
Yeah.
Is it to you something that's legitimate, or is it something to you that you'd almost rather step back from and go, why do we have to do this?
So I see both sides of it, and I hear both sides of it quite often from people like yourself, Ira, that I speak to. And I get frustrated only because there's no end point to the argument. Like, we can go round and round and round, and if you're passionate about one particular side, there's never going to be a resolution. But at the same time, when I do take a step back and think about why the argument is happening, I start to appreciate it a little bit more, because we're not just talking about great players. We're trying to determine that in our lifetime, we saw two of the best, which one of them is better,
mm-hmm.
right? And granted, there is no answer. And it is kind of foolish in the fact that there's no way to prove, there's no way to be right. And, you know, they played in two different generations, two different eras, and even you could argue LeBron within his era of basketball, you know, the game evolved so much that it changed a couple of different times. But to me, ultimately, if it comes down to now, the Kareem fans will come in and say, well, what about Kareem or Bill Russell fans or Magic Johnson fans or Will Chamberlain or whoever? But ultimately, we're talking about which guy was the greatest of all time.
Right.
So, granted, there's no resolution, but it's still fun because we're talking about the best of the best. We're not talking about, like, who should be an all-star this year. We're talking about who's the greatest, and both of them played in our lifetime.
Certainly compelling, and we're going to keep watching and can't wait for Game 7 tonight and then see what happens in the NBA Finals. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jared S. Greenberg. Watch him on NBA TV or listen to him on SiriusXM NBA Radio. Jared, thanks so much for your time today, and enjoy watching the game tonight.
It was a pleasure being on with you guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jared. I either owe you 10 TV hits or one radio hit. I'll leave it up to you. Thank you, Jared.
It might be 11, but we'll talk about it. Yeah.
Thank you.
There he is, Jared Greenberg, joining us here on 560 WQAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.